Dear confession class, congregation, the text for the special service is from Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, the 9th verse. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So far, Paul's heart's desire, see that in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire, says the theme, Paul's heart's desire, three thoughts, not foolishly denying Christ. That's the first part of Romans 10. Don't foolishly deny Christ. That's his heart's desire. He warns against that, not to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, with the mouth, confessing Christ. Not confessing that I have something or that I am someone, but in the first place, confessing Christ. And in the third place, with the heart, believing in Christ. That's close. Confessing and believing in Christ. So Paul's heart's desire, not foolishly denying Christ, but with the mouth, confessing Christ, and with the heart, believing in Christ. Congregation, our text, verse 9, is the summary. That's very dense and compact. We have to go back into the chapter from verse 1 and go slow and try to understand where it comes from. Well, what's the point of saying that? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. What does he mean? Why is he making this point? Brethren, he says. Brethren. He feels a connection with the church, with God's people. He's writing to the saints, to the true believers. They are the main part of the church those days. Brethren, he feels family, having the same God and the same Father, brothers, the sisters, the females are included. Brethren, do you sometimes have that feeling that you have spiritual family? Brethren, or not only in the church, but also over the church walls, someone you can connect with and say, that is someone who knows that same grace. We are brethren. Brethren, my heart's desire, the Apostle Paul has a heart, not only a mouth and a mind, he has a heart. He has a heart's desire, a hunger, a passion, a zeal. There is something on his mind, something bothering him, something that he has to bring out. It is my heart's desire that. That what? It's my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. It is not only his desire, it is also his prayer. Is it your prayer, parents, grandparents? Is it your heart's desire that those young friends here in front of the church be saved? Is that your heart's desire? Are you content with the fact that they are just in church and do confession and behave and are doing okay? is your heart's desire and prayer on your knees, asking the Lord that they might be saved. If it is truly your heart's desire, it also is your prayer. It brings you to the Lord. It lets you call, Lord, be mindful of thy covenant mercies, that they might be saved. Have you heard of William Tyndale? Maybe not. One of the first ones translating the Bible in English. And he has a little bit different translation here. That they might be safe. And that's close. To be saved means that you're safe, right? Save and saved are related. And by nature, we are not safe. We're in danger, in great danger. Oh, Lord, my heart's desire and my prayer is that my children and grandchildren may be safe. They're not safe by nature. So many dangers out there. There's so many temptations. So much guilt and sin, and there is hell. But you know, why is guilt so dangerous? And why is sin so unsafe? And why is hell so threatening? Because hell itself cannot do anything. Hell is just a place. Hell cannot suck us in. And if someone throws us into hell, that's the danger. But who can throw us into that abyss? Who can do that? The devil? No. The devil will end up there himself. He cannot do that. So the one who can let us perish. So the one who can condemn us, that's God. Or be saved from God. Because God cannot stand sin. Hates sin. Must punish sin. And by nature we are children of wrath, the Bible says. So if there is one real danger, a real, real danger, it's God. A holy, righteous, just God. Not just a God only forgives and smooths over and says, oh, you did your best and I'm only love. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is good and just, holy and loving. And there is an extension of the gospel. We heard that voice, we hear a voice, and we are called. But don't forget, we must be saved. There'll be something to die, right? And then to face God, and God looking at us. And that it needs to be true. Because that God is almighty and can do anything with us. He's sovereign and free. And he must deal with sin. And if then there is no Savior, if you are not saved, it will not be well for a long, long time, within a time that does not end. Does it sink in, parents? Grandparents? For yourself, your spouses, your children, your grandchildren, and your aunts and uncles and family, also the single ones I'm thinking of, they're sinking. Are you sometimes in great need on your knees, Lord? My heart's desire is that they might be saved and safe, really safe, because that's safe Nothing can separate from the love of Christ if we are His. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. That's good. If a zeal of God, a zeal for God, of God, regarding to God, pertaining to God, a zeal, they have a zeal, those Israelites, a zeal of God, great, a zeal. They are not laid back. They are not indifferent. They have a zeal of God. It's too bad, but not according to knowledge. So it is possible to be genuine and sincere and yet be dead wrong. It's possible that you say, well, I'm on the highway number one and I'm traveling in the direction of hope. And actually you're driving west. But you're so convinced, No, I'm right. Ignoring the signs, I'm right. And sometimes people can be so confused that they take the wrong exit, or drive the wrong direction, and they're genuinely wrong. And so the Apostle Paul writes to them that are genuinely wrong. They have a zeal of God, but there's no understanding. And so we can have a zeal for the doctrine, and a zeal for a certain lifestyle, and a zeal for the gospel, and a zeal for religion, and the law, and you name it. But you know, you can be still wrong. You can still be wrong, being so religious, like the Apostle Paul himself. He was so convinced that he was right. He was right, absolutely right, and he was trying to persecute the church. He did not know any better, right? He did it in ignorance. And so people can be so ignorant. The zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So what is wrong then? Well, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Is that too difficult? So they are ignorant of God's righteousness. The wrong perception of God's righteousness and holiness, absolutely confused about it. Yet no idea about God's righteousness. Ignorant of it. That God is a holy God and that someone needs to be absolutely perfect in keeping the law. Perfect. Perfection. Oh, that righteousness of God. They're confused about that. They thought the Lord can forgive anyway. And they're trying to establish their own righteousness, being good people, working hard and saving themselves and pretending to have something and to be someone. Trying to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, having not confessed their sins, without knowing who they are, ignorant of themselves, ignorant of God, and ignorant of self. They're missing the point. They have not lost their righteousnesses. They don't know what it is. To be poor and needy and wretched and guilty in having absolutely nothing to present to God. They still have something in their hands. I pray, you know. I go to church, you know. I have something. I'm not just average. I do my best, you know. They haven't lost that yet. They're trying to establish their own righteousness. God is doing much and I do my best, and together we will work it out. Trying to establish your own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You must come to your wit's end and to the end of the law. To the end of the law. And the end of the law, the purpose of the law, is only Christ Jesus. That was his heart's desire. And it was his prayer to God for Israel, that they might be saved and lose their own righteousness and see their righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is the law, but the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Right? Moses said, do this and live. You have to be perfect. And nobody is. Only one is. One was. The Lord Jesus Christ. He was perfect. Oh, his righteousness is a perfect righteousness, and he obeyed the law, and we need him by faith that believeth in him. You know, we had Ascension Day this week, right? And the Lord Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. The disciples saw him going up. Would you like the Lord Jesus back? Would you like to pluck him out of heaven and bring him to earth again? You say, minister, that is so rude. To bring Christ back from heaven? Maybe you're doing that. I mean, maybe you're trying that. To bring him out of heaven back to earth. So offensive, right? That's horrible. That's trying to undo Ascension Day. That's trying to nullify that he is the right hand of the Father. Or go back to Easter. The Lord Jesus in the sepulcher. And he rose, came to life again. Would you like to put him back into the sepulcher? And roll the stone in front of it again? You say, minister, what a strange thing to pluck Jesus out of heaven, to reverse Ascension Day, to put Jesus back into the sepulcher. What a strange thing. Never heard about something like that. Now look at verse 6 then. It's in verse 6 and 7. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart. What? Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Because that is to bring Christ down from above. Don't say, let us ascend into heaven. Because that's bringing Christ down from above. Don't try to close that gap. Don't try to climb to heaven yourself. Don't do it in your own self-righteousness, trying to rise and to take wings and to fly to heaven and do your best and sweat and do your utmost to be saved. Let us ascend into heaven. Let us work hard, do our best. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? Who shall is willing to dive into the ocean and to dive something up from the bottom of the sea? Who tries to be saved that way by going so far? Who shall descend into the deep? Who's doing his best by diving so deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Or who shall descend to the deep? But what saith the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thy heart. That's the word of faith which we preach. So it is the Apostle Paul's heart's desire to not deny Christ. How is that in the hearts of the young friends here, and the parents and family? Are you still there, trying to do something? Trying to behave well and qualify somehow and present something to the Lord? Are you waiting for something that you can present to God? Say, Lord, I have something here. Is that your life? Or has that come to an end? It is my heart's desire and prayer to God that you lose all that. As you come to the conclusion that you don't have anything, that you cannot ascend into heaven, that you cannot go into the deep, that is a hopeless case, that it is impossible to do something for yourself, and that you give up on your side, because all that working hard is denying Christ. And that is our nature. That's our nature. I want to do something. I want to do something. And now to lose that brings to the second thought, with the mouth confessing Christ. Now we have to be careful here that we don't put our thoughts to the text and say, I know what it means. You have to just look over the context. Why is he saying this? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth. You know, that's a contrast. People think the Lord is so far. You have to reach to the heavens. You have to go into the abyss of the sea. He's so far. There's no hope. So far away. It's so impossible to be saved. And the Apostle Paul is quoting Deuteronomy 30. And say, no. No, God is not so far away. He is near. He is close by. Very close, actually. Verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. So that is, instead of doing something and finding Christ by good works, the apostle says, no, Christ is close by, in thy mouth and in thy heart. Quoting again Deuteronomy 30. Let me say something very simple. Christ is near. He's close by. The word is nigh thee. The word. The word you sing, the word you read, the word your ears. You hear something, you hear the word. You hear the word of God, the word of God is nigh. You study the word. You repeat the word. You memorize the word. The word is so nigh. The Lord Jesus reveals himself in the word. In his word he reveals himself. You read it out loud with your mouth. Did you ever realize that, for example, when you are reading the Bible out loud with your mouth, that in a sense, Christ was so close by, in his word near unto us? That thou shalt confess with thy mouth. What is that to confess? I looked it up in the original language. And I think you know this word. Homo. Logos. Homo means self, same. The exact, the same, right? Not the same gender, but the same desire, the same word. The homo logos. Logos means the word. So someone says, I think this and that is true. And someone say, I homo logo it. I say the same thing. I agree. So that is the first meaning of to confess. I agree. Hopefully not only your mind, but also hopefully also your heart. I agree. So how can you agree if you haven't heard anything? You hear something, you listen, you try to perceive it and digest, and you say, yes, I agree with that. So that is, in the first place, confessing. You hear the word, you hear the doctrine, you hear it being explained, and you think about it, and you say, yes, I come to the conclusion, I agree with that. So salvation is not reaching out to heaven yourself and doing it yourself, but easier, closer, near in his word. And from the first steps of faith is that you hear it. Because faith is by hearing. You hear something that you have not heard before. You heard it, but you did not hear it. And now you begin to hear it. God, creation, the fall, our total corruption, our inability to save ourselves, God providing a Savior, all those simple things, you begin to agree with them and to delight in them and to love that word. You're connected to the Scriptures. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Confessing is to agree with the doctrine. But more, confessing is to agree also in the heart and to agree that Christ Jesus is the Savior, to confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. To confess him is not saying, I have him, I am one of his. In the first place, it is this. To point and say, he is. To say with your mouth, he is the Savior. I agree with my heart and I say with my mouth, there's no salvation but in him. He is the only way of salvation. I agree with that. And I love that gospel, that he has come to seek and to save them, the lost. Do you agree with that, confession class, parents? I mean, do you agree with that? Has the Lord opened His word to your heart, and now you agree with that? I mean, not only intellectually, but your heart says, yes, this is the truth. I feel it. I just know it. And it brings you on your knees, and it leads you outside of self to someone else. You know, when Thomas said, my Lord and my God, the most important thing was not the word my, but the word Lord. He is the Lord. And so there are people that don't dare to say He is my Lord, but they have seen the Lord, and they agree with the Lord. And they flee to the Lord. And they seek salvation outside of self in Him. But now to say, my Lord, that's quite something that is for some a step too far. And sometimes they whisper that. And sometimes they say it. But now to also openly do that, that it might be a bridge too far. But with the heart, they believe. With the mouth, they confess. You say, well, then they don't confess with the mouth, right? Yes, they do. And they pray. And they pray in private. They confess with the mouth. Led and drawn by the Holy Spirit, they confess with the mouth. And then they sing in church. Sometimes the hearts are in there. And they sing from the heart that salvation is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He is so precious and so dear to them. And then they're home, they're quiet. And they may not be able to say anything. Maybe they don't dare to profess Him personally. And that might be unbelief. But yet there are people like Thomas. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and then the third thought, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, a contrast again. It's not taking wings and trying to fly and to lift yourself up and to do your utmost and to sweat and toil and trying to qualify somehow. That is a zeal of God without knowledge. That's foolish. It is stupidity. It doesn't work that way. But believing is the exact opposite. True believing, true faith is the exact opposite of what? Of doing something. Him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justify the ungodly. His faith will be counted unto him to righteousness. Him that worketh not, but believeth. Believing is, I can't do anything anymore. I can't, and I don't have to. Because Christ rose from the dead. And He is ascended into heaven. And He is at the right hand of the Father. And he has perfect righteousness, and he is the only Savior. He can save me from my sins and guilt. It's only in him. That's true believing. True believing is having nothing yourself, but seeking the salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I see my time is up. There's much more to say. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, wholeheartedly agree, the Lord Jesus Christ shall believe in thine heart. Not just saying, Lord, Lord. Hundreds, thousands will confess him. I'm saved. I go to heaven. But they don't agree with the doctrine. And they don't believe with the heart. And they have a zeal without knowledge. But if you believe in your heart and seen the Lord Jesus and took refuge unto him on your way to the Savior Jesus Christ, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Not maybe, perhaps, who knows, you have a chance. No, positively, thou shalt be saved. So let us all have a look at their own hearts. Do we know something of that believing, of having nothing yourself and seeking a salvation outside of self in another, in the Lord Jesus Christ? Thou shalt be saved from God. God saves from God. An angry God sent his only begotten Son to save people from him. It's who God is. A holy God, a loving God. But don't fool yourself. If you are a good person, if you say, I'm not that bad, I qualify just a little bit, you are altogether wrong. That's a passion and a zeal without knowledge. Faith believing is the right opposite. For the scripture saith, verse 11, whosoever believeth on him shall not be saved. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Dear friends, the confession class, Meryl as well, personal word. I would like to repeat verse 1 for you. It is my heart's desire, really, for all of you. It's my heart's desire and my prayer to God for you, that you might be saved. If a soul for eternity, a short life, and then a long eternity. And it is a God who frowns on sin and must justly punish it. You must be saved. It's my heart's desire and my prayer to God. And there are also parents and grandparents praying for you. They have been praying for you, and they still pray for you, that you may be saved. Nothing is more important. Career, money, marriage, children, whatever. You need to be saved. I hope it's also your desire to be saved. May the Lord keep you from a zeal of God without understanding. And don't try to do it yourself. You are so foolish. May you be saved by grace only, by faith only, through the Word and through the Holy Spirit. You know, you may still have that feeling, God is so far away. I can't reach Him. Right. But He is near. The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now you were baptized as a child, most of you. And now you have done confession. Because confession and baptism belong to each other. Like Miral did first confession and was then baptized. For the other ones, it was first baptized and then doing confession. They belong to one another. So I hope you realize that. Seek the Lord. He's so close by when you open His Word every day. Open the Word and realize the Lord is speaking, that salvation is laid before you, to seek it only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope that all other doors are closed, and that you have only one door left, that door of hope in the Savior Jesus Christ. Dear friends, may the Lord remember you in His mercy, also the future, and also your parents and grandparents, that they may stand around you and pray together with you for your salvation. One thing is needful. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty Lord, Thou knowest all the young friends here who have done confession and her who was baptized. Thou knowest the hearts, and Lord, together as a congregation and families, we pray for them. We pray that they might be saved. Oh, may that be most important to parents and dear ones, that they must be saved. No greater joy than to see that our children walk in the Lord's ways, not only outwardly, but wholeheartedly, by the Spirit, by conversion, by regeneration. Oh, Lord, bind us to Thy throne. May we pray much for our dear ones, that they might be saved. And Lord, may it please Thee to give that grace, so that when they must leave this life, they may stand there without terror before the judgment seat of Christ, not shaking, not trembling, not fearing, but without terror. May they then receive that grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, give them to live holy. Give them to live close. Give them to have that faith in exercise. Make it well. Graciously also forgive all the shortcomings, also this service. But, O Lord, that Thy word might stick, may be lasting in the heart. We ask all this in the forgiveness of our sins. Be mindful of us the rest of this day. Bring us safely back home and back to Thy house. In Jesus' name alone, amen.